G-Love, thank you so much for talking to me today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, yeah, first I have to say how good it felt for me to call a 215 area kid. Yeah, I'm from Philly, too, so.
Oh, you are? Cool, man.
Yeah. It's definitely extra special talking with you today.
Right on.
Because you're from Philly, how do you think Philly helped shape your musical interests and style?
Well, I think Philly had a lot to do with it. There's a bunch of different reasons. One is that I grew up in downtown Philly, close to South Street. And if people don't know, that's like kind of like a promenade street. And so there's a lot of street performers out there, like, you know, anything from jugglers to, you know, drum circles to a guy that would play wine glasses and play Mozart on a wine glasses. Damn. That were filled with water. And then also there was a lot of hip-hop in Philly. So hip-hop, one of the epicenters was Philadelphia. So on Friday night, there was this great radio program called Street Beat with Lady B. And she would spin, like, all the newest hip-hop, which was, you know, all the classic stuff like Run DMC and all this Philly stuff like Steady B and Cool C and Cash Money. And then, like, Schoolie D and the Beastie Boys and all this stuff as it was just coming out. So I was getting exposed to all this hip-hop. Because I was, like, a city kid, I was exposed to all this hip-hop culture, basketball and breakdancing and then skateboarding and graffiti. And all this stuff was going on. And then on the other side, Philadelphia has this big folk music thing, the Philadelphia Folk Fest, and all kinds of this folk music going on. So I tapped into that, too. So I had all these influences as a young kid, the street performers, the hip-hop, and the folk music. And they all kind of combined when I was, like, 18, and then I had my sound, you know.
That sums it up pretty well right there. And you don't see many modern artists playing harmonica. What was it about harmonica that made you initially pick that up?
Well, I had this guitar teacher, and he was a cowboy, actually, from Waco, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And he looked like a bum, but he actually graduated from Juilliard School of Music. He was a classical guitar, a honky-tonk guitar player. He was really great. His name is Waco Smith from Waco, Texas.
That's awesome.
When I took lessons from him, when I was like 14 and 15. You know, he was kind of the last guy I studied with in my teenage years. And he had a harmonica player in one of his bands, and I thought that was pretty cool. So actually my manager is one of my oldest friends. We've been friends since we were second grade, and he and I took one harmonica lesson from this guy. His name was Dave. I can't remember his last name, but anyhow, he showed us the basics, like how to make it sound like a rhythm of a train and how to bend a note. And then after that, I got a harmonica holder because I played guitar. And then it was just like, you know, I was really into Bob Dylan. And later that helped me to find John Hammond. And then that really kind of helped me to identify a style of performing of the harmonica and the guitar together.
Right. Were those basics hard to learn, like bending the note and stuff?
I mean, no, they're not.
No?
I mean, honestly, I can get anybody sounding pretty good on the harmonica and a matter of minutes.
Really? Yeah, man. I want a lesson.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get going, and then it's like anything else. You know, you can take it like John Popper all the way, you know?
Right.
And you can do anything on it. It's got all the notes.
That's sweet. All right. The real reason we're talking today, you just came out with a brand new album called Love Saves the Day. That's a great title. Very uplifting. Do you feel it's important to make music that makes people happy, or is that just what tends to come out?
Yeah, man, I do. I do feel like that. I feel like that's our job, actually, is to make people happy. You know, that's something to never lose sight of. Music is a way of uplifting people and making people feel good and inspiring people and giving them something to lean on in a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of the musician's job, you know what I mean, is to bring that love out to the world, you know. And the new record, Love Saves the Day, is a really kind of driving record. I think it's our most kind of rock and roll record we ever made.
Yeah.
It's heavily rooted in the Delta blues and also like some big hip hop style beats. It's a mashup, but it's definitely, I think in the end, it really comes off as like true rock and roll. You know?
Yeah, definitely rock and roll, a lot of blues mixed in. And as far as making people happy, yeah, it's definitely working, because as soon as I started listening to the opening track, Love Saves the Day, I was bobbing my head and smiling. It's both rock and blues, but like you said, it also has a cool hip-hop feel. It also features David Hidalgo from Los Lobos on guitar.
Yeah.
How did all these different elements come together so harmoniously?
Well, our last record, Sugar, our first day we started was with Dave Hidalgo. Mm-hmm. And he's such an amazing musician and a great guy. And, man, he just knows what to play, and he really sets the bar. So we started our session with him again on this record. And so the first night we got the first three songs of the record. We got Love Saves the Day, This Song, and That Girl. And then we were just off and running. But he's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
And he's one of those really special cats. And you just learn a lot just sitting in a room with them.
You have other guests in the album that I definitely want to get to. But first, G-Love and Special Sauce plays as a trio. You got yourself on guitar and harmonica, obviously. And you got Jeffrey Clemons on drums and Jim Prescott on bass. What is it about playing as a trio that you have always liked so much?
I think for us it was like three is the magic number, you know. Every person really has to really carry their own weight, you know. You have to learn how to make space, but also make a lot of noise. And a lot of times they come off stage and people are like, oh my God, there's only three of you. That sounds like an army up there. You
yeah,
know? And
yeah.
So I think we really, you know, rhythmically, you really got to dig in and you can make a lot of noise. But then also with a trio, it's cool because you can make a lot of space really easily. And that's kind of where the power of the music is in the space and the breath between the notes.
Absolutely. I mean, you could create that pocket where it's like just the bass and drum sometimes. And then
yeah.
You get the rhythm on top. Yeah, absolutely. One word that comes to mind for me when listening to the album is real. You've always had an approachable style that sounds like, you know, real human beings making music. Does that come from both your style of music and how you record your music?
Well, I think it just comes from us as people, really, like, and the way we approach music is, I don't know, like, I write about my life and the things that I do and experience and see and feel and hear and taste,
mm-hmm.
and the things I read about and see on TV and the things I see walking down the street. So I think a lot of songs that I have people can relate to because it's something that they see too or something that they feel too, and maybe they just don't know how to say it. So
right,
that's kind of the job of the songwriter in a way as well, is to kind of express something that people are feeling. And you know, if you can express something that a lot of people are feeling, then you can have a big hit.
Yeah, definitely. But it's also in the actual sound of your music. It's definitely not overproduced or anything like that. Like, did you guys record live together?
Yeah, we cut everything live, and some of the vocals are overdubbed and some of them are live, mm-hmm. but all the music is us jamming in the room, and a lot of the vocals are too. And yeah, we've done all different kind of production over the years, but I think when we're at our best is when we're just kind of letting it fly and all committed to each other's performances. So when you break it down in the studio and cut one thing at a time, you're kind of losing the essence of what a band is, which is people playing to get together and vibing and riffing off each other. So I think especially like our last three records, we've really kind of, you know, realized, okay, this is where we're at our best. Let's sit down. Let's commit to each other. Let's be ready to hit the studio and, you know, be ready to work things out on the fly. And we're all great musicians. So just communicate with each other and get into that vibe and go for those magic takes. And that's what we did. And on Love Saves the Day as well. And we had a lot of success with that.
Yeah. And you hear bands that, you know, improvise a lot, you know, or jam bands, if you will, like Phish. You know, when they get in a studio, they have trouble recording a studio album. Was it like a process for you guys to learn, you know, what it was like to record differently in a studio as a live band?
The tricky thing about it is that when you're a live band and you play live a lot, you're always feeding off the band and also the crowd, you know, and
right.
And that's like the peak of performance, all that energy, all that euphoria from all those people, the musicians in the crowd. And then when you get in the studio, it's like you're looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
And you're having, all of a sudden, the crowd's going, the noise of the crowd's going, the lights are going, the applause is going, and, you know, you have to kind of, and all of a sudden your face is just looking at each other, and then you have to really kind of get into a different kind of headspace. But
yeah.
I think over the years, I think we keep getting better and better at that, because I think we all really believe in each other, and especially if you can get the right batch of songs, which we've been really you know, taking a lot of care to make sure we do hit the studio with the right bunch of songs that everybody's connected to. And then if everybody's feeling the music, then you feel like you can really do something special.
Hmm. It's definitely an art in itself, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the recording studio has its own magic that's different than the stage. And, you know, you can do things, you know, in this, on this live show, everything's just going by so fast. And, you know, if you make a mistake, obviously, you keep going.
Right,
and in the
right,
studio,
right.
You do have that ability to, hey, if someone does make a mistake, you can stop the take and start over again. And, you know, you try not to do that, but you do have that freedom. And then I just think you're really going forward in a different kind of way.
Right, okay.
And because there's no crowd there, it does bring something different out of you if you can find it, you know?
Yeah, so I guess you gotta find it. So talking about the actual songs, track 7, Muse, is getting a lot of attention. It's a powerful song co-written with Citizen Cope with horns and a catchy as hell chorus. How did you guys come up with that melody? And were horns always a part of a plan for this one?
Well, it was pretty cool, man. We wrote the song in two different late night writing sessions. I think they both started at about 2 a.m. One was down in Mexico, and one was at Cove's spot in L.A. And the first one was last December at Closer to the Sun Festival in Mexico, which is Slightly Stupid's festival.
Okay.
And then Cove said, hey, you want to do some writing? Okay, yeah. You know, we had been partying a little bit, and we went up to his room, and, man, I just started riffing on that riff, and he was like, yeah, that's gangster, G, that's gangster. And he kept saying, that riff is gangster, keep playing it. And then he's really good at coming up with melodies. So that night we spent hours just playing that riff, and we came up with the chorus and the harmony on that, and then kept singing it over and over again. And then Cope was riffing the melody, not saying many words, but kind of just
the melody,
you know, just singing the melody, scatting the melody. And then, so we had, and I recorded it on my phone, and then about five months went by, and I went out to LA and finished the track, and basically we had the whole thing, and then Cope wrote all the lyrics to the melody, and then we had the track, and I think when we had it, we really knew it was something special. But I, you know, again, like, you don't realize how special it is, because, you know, all, you know, when you're recording, all the songs are special, so they're all getting equal amount of love and energy, and then it's
right.
Only then when you finish the record, then you play it for people, and then people start saying, oh, well, I like this track the most, and a lot of people on the team that we work with like that track the best. And
so you never know, yeah.
So that was that.
So some of the other guests on the album include Lucinda Williams, DJ Logic, Oza Motley, and others. Did you write those songs with them specifically in mind?
Well, New York City, the song we did with Lucinda Williams was an old Lead Belly song, and we had kind of invited Lucinda to the studio on the premise of cutting that song in particular, and that song was really cool. It's like Lead Belly's anthem to New York, and it was perfect, and she really reacted to it, and we all did, and got a great take. And what you call it, Let's Have a Good Time was a song that Jimmy Jazz and I kind of were messing around with, just jamming, partying on the bus after the shows a bunch of nights. And after the show, a lot of times we just jam out. I always record everything on my phone, and then, you know, you listen back the next day or whenever you have a chance, and some of the stuff you're like, oh my God, what are we doing? And then some of the times you're like, oh man, that's really cool. And then you kind of get that idea that you started, you know, that was really just like kind of a freestyle thing, and start fleshing it up. And yeah, so Jim and I wrote that, and I thought, you know, when we asked Ozo if they could come and they said, yeah, I said, well, we got to do this one with those guys. That was a real obvious choice, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You mentioned sometimes after the show, you're like, what was that? How often does that happen for you guys?
What, like about the show or about the home?
Yeah, like
jamming.
Like a jam, like what the hell were we doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, usually it's pretty cool, but, you know, yeah, sometimes you get a little out there.
I got
but,
you.
But, yeah, I mean, that's part, it's part of it. Like, you know, like to make great music, you can't be afraid, and you just have to kind of always go for it and
just take
and let it all hang out, you know. And then when you're able to do that, ultimately you do stumble upon some good stuff. And I think that's how most writers operate. I think most writers have an initial point of real true inspiration that could come in the middle of the night, or when you're, you know, when you're sleeping and wake out of a dream, or it can come when you're in a real emotional state, or happy or sad or angry, or it can come, you know, in a dark, quiet time when you're sitting alone. But, you know, it, ultimately, I think a lot of the initial songs, like the catchphrases and the catchy melodies and hooks and riffs and stuff, come in a moment where you just kind of stumble upon something in a real natural way. And then when you do get that time to say, okay, I'm going to sit down now and write some songs, or I'm going to do a writing session with someone else, you say, hey, I have this idea. Or if the band comes at soundcheck with a great groove, and I say, oh, I got, let me look in my book or through my notes and say, oh, I got some words that kind of match along with that groove you guys are playing. And then you can start writing a tune, and then you're really able to kind of get something that is really talking and speaking, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've definitely been hearing that a lot from artists lately. It's all about, you know, a natural process. Do you ever try to, you know, sit down and not force it out, but just try to write songs intently trying to do it? Or is it just not work that way?
Oh, no. No, I absolutely do that often. Mm-hmm. That's definitely part of it. You know, and as a writer, you know, you end up writing a lot of tunes because, you know, obviously, for every tune that people hear me sing on a show or on a record, you know, I've written 10 songs, you know, that they didn't hear yet, or that they might never ever hear, because,
yeah,
you know, obviously not everything that you write, and I don't care who it is, not everything you write is going to be so great, you know. But,
sure,
you know, I think that most of the stuff, but see, it's the process, and it's like, you know, you're because you're continuously writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then over time, you it's not like you want to get too much of a formula necessarily, but you do have a process, and the effort that one puts in to continuously write, it starts honing your skills, right, as a writer.
Right.
So, and then that way you as you continue to hone your craft, it gets more and more profound. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, you've been writing songs for a long time now. You're still learning new things as you write songs?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, you always challenge yourself to learn a new riff and to keep pushing your vocabulary, really, because that's another thing. It's like, you know, as a writer, you know, and again, like, you know, you talk about that thing we said earlier, you're starting with the inspiration, and then you're going to put in the words, and then you can keep pushing yourself to finding more unique ways of saying things, right? So that sometimes, you know, I actually use like a thesaurus, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And say, okay, well, I want to say this, and I would usually, you know, use a simple word.
Right.
But let's push that a little bit. Let's see how else can I say the same thing that I'm trying to say, but in a more unique way,
right,
in a more kind of profound way. You know,
that's kind of like rock music and blues, you know, as styles of music. Yourself and other artists are constantly recreating it almost, you know?
Uh-huh.
Similar thing right there. Any chance you'll get some of your guests to play live with you guys?
Yeah, Lucinda and I have already done New York City live, and Cope and I haven't performed Muse live together yet in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to when we get to do that. But
nice.
Yeah, all of them, man. You know, it's just a matter of time, everybody crossing paths and being in the same place at the same time.
Right. No, that's good to hear. Well, G-Love, man, you continue to do Philly proud. Congrats on the new album.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much, man.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks a lot.
Everybody.